Welcome back into the game here in Tuscaloosa on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com. It's a throwback Thursday, and we're throwing back a couple of players. We heard from Mark Millen a couple of minutes ago. Now let's talk to Chris Moore, a punter back in the 80s here at the University of Alabama. Went on to play for 15 years in the National Football League, played in Super Bowls. Chris Moore, welcome back to Tuscaloosa on a throwback Thursday presented by Brian Harden Construction. I hope you're doing well.
Doing good, Ryan. Thank you. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide to you. The first win under the belt, and Alabama may not have had the performance everybody was looking for, but from your perspective, you watched a lot of football games in your lifetime. Help us evaluate Alabama and West Virginia.
Well, I tell you, it's so difficult to evaluate the first game because, you know, we're going in with so many question marks, and you never know under pressure. I mean, practice is one thing, but when you get in game time situation, you know, that's totally different. So I think that's a big reason that everybody chose these games to come, you know, to evaluate the team. You know, that first game, if you're playing a big, I mean, you're under the microscope and on the big stage, and it's tough to go to, you know, in that type situation playing against a good team. So, you know, I think everything was good. And, you know, we won W. That's all that counts.
There was 10 freshmen that participated in Saturday's game, and that's an awful young team. But I look at one that I wanted to get you to evaluate and help us sort of understand. I know there's only two punts that we can evaluate, but J.K. Scott, the young man out of Colorado that stepped in for his first collegiate punt, he sort of reminded us a little bit of Chris Moore. He launched it 62 yards down the field and flipped the West Virginia returner 10 yards back. Not a bad punt for your first collegiate punt.
No, not at all. I mean, that was I can't remember. I remember my first punt. It was on September 1st against Georgia in Athens, but I can't remember how long it was, but I know it wasn't that long. But, you know, it was a good punt. I was actually driving. Me and my wife were driving back from North Carolina and was listening to the radio, so I really couldn't see and didn't see the return or anything. But, you know, that was a great punt. Then hopefully, you know, if he can average 2 punts a game, that'd be awesome.
no doubt. And Chris, let me ask you, and man, this is off the wall question, but what's the longest punt you've ever punted? College or pro? High school included?
Well, in the game, I punted 80 yards against Miami and Buffalo, and in college, I punted 73 against Notre Dame on the sack, in the game of the sack.
Well, it was probably the loudest cheer inside the Georgia Dome because Alabama, you know, Cody Mandel certainly was a super punter here at Alabama, but that was a big question mark after a day of seeing a third-string quarterback as your starting punter in the A-Day in spring game, but you knew that J.K. Scott was coming in. And so there was a loud cheer for the punter once he launched the football and inside the Georgia Dome. You could hear that thump, and a lot of the fans went, wow, I think we've got a punter.
Well, I was a little worried about that myself. I mean, when I didn't go to the A-Day game because I had other obligations with my other kids, but, you know, when somebody told me they didn't have one on the roster and the third-string quarterback was doing it, I was like, wow. You know, they better get somebody in there. They said they recruited a guy that had a strong leg and was, you know, good in high school and stuff. And I was like, well, that's great. But hopefully, we'll see how, because I've seen a lot of kids come in that were great in high school and couldn't compete under pressure in college. And I've seen them going against three-time All-Americans in the pros that come into a game in the pros and couldn't catch a snap because of the nerves. But, you know, that answered all those questions with him under the spotlight. And maybe that was a good situation for him being in it and not having a lot of work, but had enough to where he could get his feet wet and get ready for, you know, the SEC and the tight competitions he's going to have here pretty soon.
Chris, now we're seeing scholarships offered to specialty players, punters, place kickers, snapper. Last year it was Cole Mazza coming out of California as a long snapper. The year before that, it was Adam Griffith who regained his confidence and was named the SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. He hit a 47, a 45, 41, and a 27. He was 4-for-4 in that game, so he's the place kicker. But you're seeing scholarships now offered to these guys, and I think that's changed from where you played in that era where you really depended on a young man to come in and walk on and earn his scholarship throughout his collegiate career.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it really depends on the head coach and the guys in charge when at the university. Because I know Coach Perkins was really adamant about having a good punter and place kicker. But, you know, Coach Saban, it took him a couple of years before he realized that, hey, I need to go out and find, you know, the top guys. I forget what year it was, but we had somebody that was kicking that well and punting that well, and he went out the next year and signed some guys that were the, you know, number one or number two or top rated punter and kicker in the country. But, you know, the NFL's even caught on to it. Now you got specialized deep snappers. You know, when I first started out in the NFL, that wasn't thought of. I mean, we had guys that played other positions that did that, but now it's a specialty, and that's all those guys do because of the importance of it. You play 59 minutes and 58 seconds, and, you know, the last 2 seconds rely on the snap, hold, and the kick. You know, and you got somebody, a linebacker that's playing half the game and they're snapping or something, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And you got to rely on him to snap the ball, and he broke his finger in the game or separated his shoulder, and now he's got to snap the ball. And, you know, the game's relying on that. And that's, you know, that's basically what it all boils down to. And so, I mean, it's, like I said, it's a specialty, and everybody's sort of getting into it now.
Chris, one of the things that I know Brian Hart and I talked about it briefly, and I know it's too early, but there's been a few, you know, words this week. He's a tall guy. Chris, you were a tall guy as well. Is there an advantage of being a taller punter? I mean, is that just the law of physics that, you know, you're getting more of the leg into it and you've got a bigger range? Is there something to do with a taller kicker that comes with a little bit different powerful leg? Help us understand that, if that's even close to being accurate.
You're talking about Brian Harden? Brian from Brian Harden Construction?
I am, yeah.
The one that built half the Mercedes plant and half of, adding on to half of Bryant Denny Stadium? Oh, that guy?
yeah, that guy. Yeah, yeah, Brian Harden Construction.
You thinking he knows about football? No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, he is a pretty tall guy. See, I think if you were looking for Brian as far as a position, I think he could probably be a punter.
Brian would be a punter or a snapper. He'd be perfect size for a snapper. He's scrappy. He can get downfield and make the tackle. That's how punters he's going to get it. But, it's a gift. First of all, punting's a gift from God, and that's where I got mine. But, you know, being tall, some people says it's leverage. I mean, it gives you more leverage and stuff, but, I just basically, like I told Michael Vick when I was playing Atlanta, he said he was the best athlete. And I was like, hey, I can run, I can throw, I can, you know, do all this, and I can punt. I said, let's see you punt. But he couldn't punt, so he wasn't the best athlete. I'd take him out. But anyway, no, it's a gift from God, but that leverage helps, yes, but there's a lot of air when you're dropping the ball being tall. There's a lot of air for that ball to fall through to where you could be inconsistent, because the drop is the most important part of it. But I mean, I've seen a lot of short punters that were good too, but tall, it helps, I guess.
Let me go back to Michael Vick for a couple of minutes. You brought his name up. Is out of all the days that you've played, just certainly the guy that's able to cut and the speed, just a tremendous athlete. And remember Michael Vick doing what he does. And at times it looked like he was toying with some of the defenders, the moves that he had. And I'm sure you get that same perspective being his teammate.
Oh, I saw Mike do things that every game he do something is unbelievable. I know we're playing Minnesota in the went overtime, and we had the ball about the, I don't know, 48-inch field, and he brought back the pass, and he got forced out of the pocket, forced to run, and he was running down the left side, and the cornerback and the safety had an angle on him. Oh, you probably never seen this on TV, but they both met Mike at the same time, and it was that one, when they met, it was right on his shoulders, and he just ran right to him, probably about the 15-yard line, and went on the score. We won the game in overtime. So, I mean, I've just seen him do things that just baffle your mind, you know.
Well, it's almost unhuman-like, and I know that's not being offensive. That's a praise to Michael Vick. I mean, you look at him and you're going, wow. You're just not supposed to be able to do some of the things that he was able to do in the early part of his career. Chris Moore right now on a Throwback Thursday inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. Chris, I wanted to share this. I was looking at ESPN.com a couple of minutes ago, and I know that you've been following this very closely, but Jim Kelly... earlier today that it came out on a news story that the doctors say that he is cancer-free, and being your teammate for so many years, you got to think about Jim Kelly, and certainly I know a lot of folks have prayed for his healing, and it looks like that has come true for Jim Kelly, the quarterback there for the Buffalo Bills for a number of years.
Oh, yeah, that's a miracle. I just got a text back from Jim about 20 minutes ago before y'all called me. When my wife had showed me the Instagram that his wife Jill had put up, and I texted Jim right away. I was like, praise God, you know, great news, and he texted me back, thanks, you know, God is awesome. But I tell you, nobody's been through as much as Jim Kelly's been through over the last 10, 12, 15 years, you know, and you know, I'm just glad that, you know, hopefully that's gone for the rest of his life. He's been through a lot.
Well, Chris, it's amazing the friendship that you guys build. You know, it's wearing that crimson jersey here in Tuscaloosa. It's a fraternity that unless you played the game, you really don't understand it. And the NFL the same way, I'm sure. But I'm sure there's still a lot of Alabama guys that you stay connected with here in Tuscaloosa that you had a chance to build some friendship and a relationship there in a very unique fraternity of playing for the Crimson Tide.
Oh, yeah, man. The high school level, college, or, you know, pros, whatever. You're right. I mean, it's not a fraternity, it's more like a family. And like I tell kids now that, and my kids that play football in high school, I was like, well, you know, these guys right here, well, I told them going in their senior year, so this is the year you're going to remember. And this time next year, you wish you were basketball playing. And 20 years from now, you can come back and see a guy that you haven't seen since high school that you play with, and this will be like y'all never missed a beat. And that's the way it is. I mean, it's people that don't play sports or don't play football or whatever, there's no way they can feel that. I mean, there's no way to, other way to describe it, never any other walk of life, I don't think. And, you know, it's just something unique. And I think in Buffalo, we had a great bond the early years because we were together so long. We had nothing else to do up in North Park, New York, but hang out together and do things together and all that. So, you know, we built a great bond. That's why the teams are so great. So we, our families played together. We ate together. You know, we did everything together. On Sunday, we played together. So, you know, that's different.
Chris, do you still make your home there in Georgia?
Yep.
Well, don't let them dog fans rule out the Crimson Tide over here in Tuscaloosa. We may not have performed the best against West Virginia, but it was a win, and we'll see how 2014 develops throughout the season. But I know Georgia riding the high horse after beating Clemson. They should be. It was a great win for the Dogs. But just let them know the Crimson Tide. Don't count us out yet.
Oh, you know they're running the mouth, but I let them do that. I don't talk nothing I'm just letting them run their mouth, and then we'll see.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for helping us out here on a Throwback Thursday presented by Brian Harden Construction. We appreciate you talking some college football with us, and we'll have you back on very, very soon. Thank you again.
All right, Ryan. Thanks for having me on, and Roll Tide, man.
Roll Tide. Right back to you. That's Chris Moore, 15-year NFL vet, member of the Crimson Tide family, longtime punter in the National Football League. It's presented by Brian Harden Construction, and we'll continue with more of the game here on Tide 99.1.